Welcome back to Wanna Be Clutter-Free. I'm your host, Deanna Yates, and this is episode 321. All right, I have to let you know that I could have talked to today's guest for another 3 hours, and I bet you we would not have run out of things to talk about or questions to ask her. Today, I'm talking with Megan Sumrell. She is a time management expert and the founder of The Pink Bee. She spent over 20 years in corporate IT as a quality architect before she realized that every productivity system out there that she had ever been handed was built by men for men, and she decided to build something better. So today we are digging into what Megan calls stolen time, and I am telling you, once she explains what it means, you are going to start seeing it everywhere in your week. We talk about who is taking your time, how it happens without you even noticing it, what invisible work is actually costing you, and the planning shift that gets you out of putting out fires all day long and actually into running your week on purpose. Sounds amazing, right? I know, you're going to love it. So if you're not already subscribed, please go ahead and hit that button right now so you never miss an episode. And then come find us over on Instagram. I'm at wannabeclutterfree, and I will tag Megan there as well. Show notes for today are at wannabeclutterfree.com/321. All right, let's get into it. Well, hey, Megan, welcome to Wanna Be Clutterfree. How you doing today?
So good. Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled you're here. I'm excited about today's conversation. We were chatting a little bit before we hopped in about how time management and decluttering and getting different aspects of our lives together really coincide. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we jump into that, can you introduce our listeners to who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Megan Sumrell. I am right outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm the CEO and founder of The Pink Bee. And what we do here is all about bringing work-life harmony into homes all over the world through time management, organization, and productivity specifically for women, because our brains are different, our bodies are different, our lives are different. And the fact is, when we try and apply kind of the traditional old school time management and productivity systems, or try and implement kind of the productivity bro hacks out there, they often fall short. And it's not because we're not implementing right, it's because they just aren't aligned with the realities of our lives. So that's why our approach to time management and planning, it's very proprietary and it is very female focused.
What do you mean that like running a corporation is not the same as raising a family? What are you talking about, Megan? I mean, come on. Just kidding,
yeah,
sarcasm.
And even if you're, doing that, our brains work different. The mental load sits different with women than with men. Yeah. The number of times we're interrupted per day, there's scientific studies behind that, like all of it. Right? And any woman listening is already like nodding their head like,
Of course. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, this is going to be a great conversation. I love it. I think it's a perfect time to be having this conversation. Even though I know you've been doing this work for a long time, but I feel like women are like, you know what? I'm fed up. Like I'm ready. Like let's do it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I'm seeing so much discussion and focus about equitable distribution of labor and what does the mental load mean, and we need different tools. Like I'm here for all of these discussions. I think it's great.
Yeah. It's good. All right. Well, take us back to the moment when you realized that traditional time management wasn't really built for women. Like, what was happening in your life that made it click, or was there an aha moment for you?
Yeah. So two things fundamentally. What I can remember years ago, I had been trained on the Franklin Covey planning system back out of college. I'm in my 50s. So I did this for over 20 years. And I had been using it for, decades. And I used it single, without kids, without all of that. And there was a particular Friday where I was still in corporate. I spent over 20 years in corporate IT, where I served as what was called a quality architect. And it was a Friday morning, and I'd done what I'd been doing for decades, which was I turned the page in my planner. I followed the system. The first step that you do is to rewrite everything that didn't get done yesterday onto today's list, right? And then you added to it. And as I was writing schedule, annual check, I paused and I was like, I have been writing this so many days in a row. And as I was writing the call and schedule my annual well check, I already knew I wasn't going to be calling and scheduling it that day. But I needed to rewrite it or else it was going to get lost, right? Like I would forget about it by Monday. So I paused and I'm like, how many times have I rewritten the these exact words along with a bunch other them. And I flipped back through my planner and it had been like almost 6 weeks that every single day I had written schedule annual well check with no intention of picking up the phone and scheduling the well check. And it had me in a moment where I was like, I do this every day for 10 to 15 minutes where I am rewriting the same list. And I've done this for 20 years. Like, how many hours of my life have I wasted rewriting stuff because that's the system that was taught, even though my brain knows I'm not getting to half of this list today, but this is how I make sure I don't forget about it. So that kind of led me on to this. I started kind of playing around with different things. And then not too long after that, I had a day at the park. I was pushing my 2-year-old daughter on the swing and I was still working a corporate job. And the woman next to me just asked, I live in the South, like, oh, what do you do for fun? And I realized I didn't have an answer. Not that I wasn't enjoying myself at the park, right? But that's not the same thing as what do just me, because I know you take what trapeze lessons, right?
Yes, like, we were talking about that.
What do just I do for fun?
Yeah.
And so that was really my breaking point where I was like, I need to figure something out. And the irony is that was my job at that time. I would go into very chaotic software organizations and redesign their processes from the ground up to make things on time, faster, cheaper, et cetera. So I kind of took myself on as a project and created a very different approach to how I plan and run my calendar that actually put me back in there again, along with everything else. So fast forward to today, I ended up leaving my corporate career behind. And this is now what I am passionate about getting into the hands of women everywhere.
I love that. Can we ask, what are some of the things you do for fun? I'm curious.
Yeah. So my current passion, it's a love hate only because it's very hard. a couple years ago, I studied music. I played all sorts of instruments, but I'd never played like a stringed instrument outside of the piano. So a few years ago, I started taking cello lessons. So practicing my cello and doing that with no end game. There's no goal. There's no, I'm not joining a symphony. Like, I literally just do it for fun. And I've brought back in recently a lot of the kind of paper crafting that I used to do many years ago that I love, along with puzzles.
Nice. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm not.
But now I want to go take trapeze lessons.
Oh my gosh. Please try it. It is so much fun. I think I like convince someone to do it at least like once a month. So I love it so much. My daughter does do it with me and I love being able to have that time with her. It's great because it's like one thing that we both can do. Like, clearly she's younger and stronger and faster and fitter than I am. But it's really fun to be able to do something that we both can do. And I'm clearly not going to run away and join a circus. There is no professional
or end game.
Oh, I mean, there's no real end game for me in the trapeze. She might someday, but it's probably not in the cards for me, which is totally fine. But I just love doing it. So much fun. Yeah, absolutely. I love that that was the impetus because I feel the same way when it comes to home routines. And like so many times people talk about doing your, like getting your home ready for people coming over. Like that was a huge thing for me for so many years was like, oh my gosh, I have people coming over. I'm going to clean the house. And once I flipped the script a little bit and made it like, this is where I live. This is where my family lives. This is our place. It's not about everyone else. How can I put myself back in, for quote unquote, the driver's seat, but make space for myself in my own gosh darn home? Like, that was huge. And so I love that we're having this conversation. You're talking about it with your schedule. And I feel the same way in our homes. And I, anyway, we can go off on that tangent. We probably will in a minute.
I'll be like, hey, you know what? It's a very selfish planning system. And I mean that in all of the ways you're talking about, right?
Right.
It's so easy as a woman to just let your life be controlled by all the ways that we're in service to others. That we need to have the space to do things that are for us. It doesn't mean it can't bring joy to others, right? Just like having a beautiful home. But just as you want a physical space for you, we need to have the time on our calendar for ourselves as well.
Yeah, for sure. How do we make this? We can't make the space if we don't make the time. Yeah. For sure. For sure. So, okay, you talk about this phrase called stolen time. And I really want to talk about this because you said that and I was like, ooh, that sounds really interesting. So where did that come from? And where did you realize that was how you wanted to describe what was happening to women?
Yeah. So our time is, you know, I mean, it's the one resource that really is, you know, it is limited. We can't just magically wave a wand and suddenly have 40 hours when we only have 24. And if we are not careful and we don't put the right boundaries and processes in place to how we plan and protect our time, the bottom line is everybody else is going to come in and steal it from us. And by stealing, when you think about the act of stealing, it's when you kind of go in and sometimes it's knowingly, sometimes it's unknowingly, but you're taking something that belonged to someone else. And so this is why we lock up our homes, right? This is why we hide our valuables. We make sure that other people can't come in and take it. And in the digital world, especially that we live in right now, where people, you know, we open up our calendars and people can come book meetings and schedule times and all of that. If we don't have the tools, the knowledge, the awareness of how to put some constraints around this, we are essentially opening up ourselves and our lives for everybody else to come in and steal our time from us, which is why at the end of the day, we can't answer the question, what do we do for fun, right? Or every day we are constantly in debt, if you will, of the things that need to get done. And the list just keeps growing and growing.
We live in San Diego, and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection Flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. You know me, less clutter, more calm. And in our house, that goes for screens too, which is why summer makes me just a little bit nervous. The kids are home, a device is always within reach, and there's this thing called the summer slide, where the math and reading they've built up all year quietly starts to slip. So here's the one app I actually feel good handing my kiddo. It's called Gritty Kids. It comes from a best-selling logic workbook series and is a whole farm of puzzles. There's math, word games, logic, focus, and spatial reasoning. No ads, no timers, no streaks pulling them back in. It's about as close to pen and paper as screens get. And the thing is, kids love it. It keeps their brains sharp over break, and it's screen time that I don't feel guilty about. Find it at grittykids.com/clutterfree and use the code clutterfree for 30% off just for podcast listeners. grittykids.com/clutterfree. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And then you just, and sometimes we sadly give it away, right? Like we just even know to lock it up, like you said, which is so interesting. That kind of parallel. What are the most common time thieves that you see? Was there one that like a lot of us never even notice it's happening?
Yes. So technology. And I know that's a really, really loaded question. And no, I'm not here to tell you you're not allowed to scroll Instagram, like doom scroll for 15 minutes and send things to your friends, right? I'm not that productivity person that tries to steal every pocket of joy that you have. But when one of the studies I read about three or four years ago now that was fascinating is that through our mobile devices today, and it's probably bigger now than it was those few years ago, we are consuming on average 16 movies worth of information every day through our devices. When you think about emails, notifications, social media posts, apps that we're reading stuff in, how many portals do you need to log into? You know, one for each kid's activity, one for each school, et cetera. And so the sheer volume of information that is coming at us that we now need to absorb, figure out if it's relevant or not, and then decide what we are going to do with it, that is the hugest, like the most significant thief of our time. And kind of back to these traditional time management systems that were built, you know, 15, 20, 30 years ago that have not fundamentally changed are not addressing this. And they're not giving us tools, techniques, and systems to keep that volume of information at bay, because we didn't used to have that problem. And it's just growing every single, it feels like it's growing every single day with all the new tools and what, you know, people, your watch, this is why I don't wear a smartwatch. I'm like, I don't need information coming on my wrist. And like, even if it's just a vibrating, if it's a something, that is a, it steals our focus. It creates anxiety, and all of those things add up that ultimately suck out a huge chunk of time.
Yeah. And I think we need to talk about the biggest elephant in the room right now with AI coming on. So now it's easier than ever for people to create content, to create things. Exactly. My husband's an app developer, and he's like, the amount of slop I see on the app store is insane. And I see the same thing with, like, you know, I watch people showing AI channels on social media and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is just going to get worse. It's getting worse now, and it's not going to stop. So no,
we've opened the floodgates on accessibility of information coming at us, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming in every which way.
So how do we start to lock that down?
Yeah. So a couple things that I really encourage people to do is, and hear me out, because the first thing I say, everyone's like, yeah, but they'll always throw in a but of why they can't, but I promise you, you can. So, and I'm sure everyone's heard some flavor of this, but I strongly encourage you to turn off every notification on all of your devices. And people will say, oh, mine doesn't make a noise, but that, or, you know, it doesn't ding, but then it'll vibrate or even do a screen flash, right? Mm-hmm. That's a notification. So I truly mean everything, as in your phone doesn't make a noise. There's no visual cues. There's nothing. And this always leads, especially to women, of like, well, what if there's an emergency at school? I need to hear my phone ring, right? The great thing with the evolution of technology is they are all smart enough now that you can program your devices to tell it when something is important enough to interrupt you. So when we think about it under the lens of even little visual flags or vibrations or whatever, those are interruptions, right? So if you were to sit down with your family and say, okay, guys, let's have a conversation. What is important enough that I want to be interrupted no matter what I'm doing, right? Maybe I'm having a great conversation with Deanna here. Like, what would be important enough to interrupt something that is, you know, top priority for me? And when I answer that question, I'm saying, yeah, if the school calls during normal school hours, they never do that unless there's an emergency, right? If my husband's on travel and calls me during the day, it's for a specific reason, right? So think, and usually you're going to come up with a list of maybe three or four things tops that are urgent enough to interrupt you in the moment. Then you can go into your device and you can set it up that way. So if anybody calls me right now, I'm not going to know about it. But if the school calls me, my phone's going to make a noise. And I know I've said, this is important enough for you to bust into my office and go, Megan, drop what you're doing right now. And so that's when we realize we can program that into our phones. That gives us, now we can relax and go, okay, if it's urgent, I will be notified of that. And I've communicated that with my family. I'm like, feel free to call me, guys. Just know, you know, I'll get back to you later. Like, don't worry, you're not interrupting my day. Then the second part of this is we strategically protect time on our calendar, and I build it into my plan. It's an appointment on my calendar for the times of day where I am now saying, I'm now ready to go give attention to the emails, to the DMs, to see if there's any voice messages or anything like that that I need to return. So I am proactively deciding when I want to go consume this information and I'm not jumping in and out all day. I typically check all my message platforms 3 times a day, sometimes 2 times a day, depending upon what my work schedule is. But that one shift alone means you get in, you get out, right? Instead of constant interruptions. And it also means that the work that I'm doing is getting done quicker because it's more efficient, because I'm able to stay focused. And I've had so many students say, like, I was so nervous the first time I set this up. Mm-hmm. And if you're nervous, then allow yourself to check it every hour when you're first doing it. But you will find, everyone finds that after 1 week, they're like, my life has changed. I am so much less anxious, right? I feel like I've accomplished so much more.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting as you're saying that. I'm thinking, like, with my email, the first thing that popped in my head was my email. And I just need to be better about, like, these are my hours of when I'm going to check email, close my email down when I'm not in these moments of checking it. Because what happens to me is I just get so overwhelmed that I almost just shut down. Yes. Right. So the work doesn't actually happen if I'm checking it all the time, because it's just too overwhelming. And so I'm like, oh, well, I just have time to do that another time. I'll either push it off or I won't do it, because one, I don't love it.
Who does? You know? And I'm gonna tell you another great thing with email. I mean, email is so overwhelming. Everybody should have a minimum of 2 email addresses. So if you only have one right now, the best gift that you can give yourself is go create a free email account on whatever platform you want. Gmail, I got, like, whatever. And then you're gonna consider who is important enough that you want to make sure you know that you've chatted, like that you see their messages, and what isn't. So maybe you give your closest family, your best friends, maybe the school, that primary email, and then everything else, all your online shopping, all the newsletters that you subscribe to, all that kind of stuff is done through the second email. So then if you're really short on time, you can be like, hey, I just check my primary email twice a day, and then I'll check my secondary one once a week, right? Because those are the things that are not urgent enough. Okay. And that will really decrease the volume of, because even just looking at something and clearing it out and deleting it because Land's End sent you 7 emails in 3 days, right? Even that takes time.
Yeah, sure.
And if you're doing that every single day, let it queue up for 3 or 4 days and go in once and clean it all out.
Yeah. Ooh, what I love about that is you can just set up the new email, and that's your primary email. You only give that out to the people that really need it, because that's from the jump. Now you know, like, okay, you're going through, change my email, only email me here. And then automatically it's already sorted for you. That's such a good tip. Ooh, yeah,
and
I love
it will take a while to train your friends and family, right? But when they come in and do the old one, again, respond back, hey, in a week, I'm done checking here. You've got to update my email contact to X, because they may have it, you know, stored somewhere.
Yeah.
But I recently did that because even my personal one got too cluttered after 20 years.
Yeah, sure. That,
about a year ago, I got a new primary personal one, and it probably was maybe 4 to 6 weeks before I felt like I was no longer getting messages to that old one that belonged in the new one. But then, like, if I'm on vacation, I might pop in and check just that one email box, because there's so few things in it. And it's the stuff I've said, I want to stay on top of this.
My gosh. Okay. I'm putting that into place the second we hang up from this phone call, because that is just, that sounds so freeing. And the fact that you could go on vacation. I can't remember the last time I went on vacation and didn't feel like I had to didn't have to check my email.
Yeah. And you know, if you want to get crazy, like people here, they're just like, what? I manage 7 email addresses.
Oh my God, I have, I've got at least 6 open.
Because, you know, I've got business and personal, but I have business, like, primary, just me, and then other ones, and then my personal, just primary. And I've now evolved to where I have 1 email address that I do all my online shopping with, and I don't do anything but online shopping on there. So I'll let that one sit for 2 weeks before I open it up and look at it, right? I don't need to see sales from every single retailer that I'm on their list. And it makes it easy to unsubscribe too, because all that's in there that I can do a quick unsubscribe.
Okay. And then, so for those of you that are listening to this, because you're here on a clutter-free podcast, please do that one. Because the thing is, it's those sales that make you want to impulse buy. Yes. And so, oh my gosh, like that right there is going to cut down on so much clutter in your house without you even having to do anything.
Yeah, because usually by the time I get there, I missed the sale. And I'm totally. Like, I didn't really need anything, right? Nope. I didn't need it.
So. Yep. Nope, you didn't, right? If you didn't go actively search for it, you didn't actually need it. It was a want.
Exactly.
You didn't need it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Woo! This is so good. We've already got so many good little golden nuggets in there and we like have just started. This is so fun. Okay. I want to switch to invisible work because you were talking about that when we first started. And I think these are, it's getting to be almost buzzwordy to me. Like I am starting to see it so much. And so I think it's, I don't want it to lose its significance because I don't like to see it taken on by everyone else. But let's talk about invisible work, right? So this is like the planning, the remembering, the anticipating. And much of the time that falls on the default parent. And a lot of the people Absolutely. Listening to this are the default parent. So talk to me about this. How can we?
So two things. First is when you learn how to really plan in a proactive way, which means we're planning a week at a time and everything that we do is getting into our plan, that reduces that mental ticker tape of remembering, right? Because what slowly happens over time is we start to train our brain by the visual act of creating a plan and getting it either on your digital or paper planner where you can see it. We are subconsciously telling our brain, you don't have to remember this anymore. Do you see me putting it here? I am letting you know it gets to stop. Now, this does not happen overnight. The first time you do weekly planning, suddenly your mental clutter is not gone. But I can't remember the last time I woke up at 2 a.m. and started a mental list making remembering session because I've trained my brain. It doesn't need to do that anymore. I've got you. We've got the planning system in place. But I really want to talk about the second aspect of this is how much of a game changer it is when we can make what is traditionally the invisible load visible to everybody that we live with. So I'm sure many women can relate. If you are kind of in that primary caregiver, default parent mode, right? Think about how much time you spend in a given day or week managing forms. Oh my God, the online forms, right? The health forms, you're like, not another one. I just did this, right? The camp registrations, all of that, the paperwork that comes in that now needs to be analyzed. Do I need to scan this? Do I need to do that? The scheduling of the orthodontist and the dentist and all of that stuff that if someone were watching you, like it is, quote, like they could see you working. So that part's visible. It's not just like your brain's up here going, but it's not stuff that shows up on a traditional calendar. And you're not in motion like you are washing the dishes where people can be like, oh, look, she's washing the dishes. And I see a lot of social media things out there that kind of hits on this where it shows an image of a woman like on her computer or on her phone. And the family's like, oh, she's playing Candy Crush again. And it's like, no, she's getting the grocery list. She's, filling out the health forms. Like we're that kind of labor. A big shift that I made a couple years ago was I was like, how do I get this visible? Meaning making my family aware of just how much time I spend doing this that then also supports in me offloading some of this to other people in my household. So right now I have one child, she's going to be 16 this summer, and my husband and he and I both work from home, and he works in a very, time demanding job. So his hours are interesting. So what I do is I implemented what I call my household COO time. I'm the chief operating officer here, chief information officer. I'm the absorber and the person who knows where everything is. So I started realizing I'm spending too much time during my week on this stuff and nobody knows that I'm doing it. So I create 1 hour during Monday through Friday for the stuff that can only be done Monday through Friday, right? You can't schedule a dentist appointment on a Sunday. Their offices are closed. And then I have household COO time every weekend. That's because that's what's worked with my schedule. You can decide what works with yours. And on average, it's about 2 hours, sometimes three, every single week of this type of stuff. Because when you start tracking it, you realize just how much time you spend. So we use a skylight calendar in our household, in our kitchen. Yeah, that is our, I call that, that's our family communication center. Mm-hmm. And the only stuff that goes on that skylight calendar is things that the family needs to be aware of, right? Like me on this call is not on there. Right. They don't need to know I'm doing this. They're at work, they're at school, whatever. But what is on there is for this weekend is Sunday morning. I have from 10 to 12 blocked off as mom's household COO time. Now, anytime something comes in the door where someone in my family is saying, can you, or I need you to, or handing paper, I will tell them, I'll get that done during my COO time this week. And it stacks up, or I have an email folder where I move it into my household COO time. And that block of time is visible on the family shared calendar. So if we're planning something all of a sudden last minute as a family, I'll be like, great, but I've got 2 hours of household COO time that's got to get done this weekend. So if we're going to do this, then I'm going to need to find a time to be in my office getting all of this done. And what slowly transpired over time now is usually on Fridays, I'll kind of, well, you know, if we're having dinner together, I'll tell my family, guys, here's everything that's on my COO bucket this weekend. It's a lot. And so now is the opportunity to say, hey, well, I'll step in and I'll fill out all the camp forms. Great. I'm transferring that over to you, right? And we are talking about all of these things because we have a blocked time on the calendar that reminds the whole family there's a lot of informational things that I spend significant time on every week. And so this has been a tool that's really made that way more visible in our house instead of me just quietly handling and absorbing it all. Resentment building, yep. And then everyone thinks I'm over here, you know, playing Candy Crush or, you know, piddling around or online shopping. And I'm like, no, I'm working. Like, but this is work for our family.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I like how it's blocked off on the, on the time. It reminds me, it goes back to kind of that email time of like, okay, if I know when it's going to happen, it's much easier to get in and just get it done. And like you said, if it stacks up, then it's like, okay, look, we need help. Like I don't need to be doing all of this on my own. So here's what's going on. And it allows you to have a non-emotional conversation about it.
It's fully data driven. That's what I love. And it prevented me from, I felt like I had to stay on top of it every day.
Yes.
So every late afternoon, I was like, okay, now let me go do all this stuff for school and for this, for that. And so now instead, when it comes in, I'm like, is this a have to today? 90% of the time it's not. So I'm like, great, I'm moving that to my COO block because it's much less exhausting to sit down at once and be like, all right, I'm putting on my household hat and I'm going to knock out all those things instead of trying to jump in and out of them multiple times throughout the week. That makes me very irritable. And context switching a lot makes most human beings very irritable, right? When you're ping-ponging all over the place.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I can see how that would be very helpful. I don't do it as structured like that. So I definitely am noodling over here.
Yeah. Cause like even recently we've moved my mother-in-law here in town into an assisted community not far, and she needs a lot of support as she's getting adjusted to this move. And so, you know, as the weekend's approaching, my husband and I are talking, he's like, well, I gotta take mom here, that, and do all that, you know, any chance you know, and I'm trying to figure out how I can help. And so I'm like, well, you know, I've got about 2.5 hours of work queued up to get everything ready for summer camp. So I can either do stuff to support your mom, or I could, if you want to jump in and take over the camp stuff, then I'll go pick your mom up and take her and do her errands. So again, it's not emotional. Mm-hmm. It's, I now have data to talk from instead of just going like, I feel overwhelmed and I don't know why. And I know there's stuff I need to do. And so now it's having very respectful and awareness conversations of, as I'm watching him kind of step into a little bit of a primary caregiver role, but for his mom, you know, and now he's seeing the awareness of that. And so we're able to support each other much better that way.
Mm. Yeah, I like that part. And I think you hit the nail on the head of like, I feel so overwhelmed, but I don't know why. And so you have to figure out, and I feel that like in my, just inside of like, I can get so irritable when I just am like, I'm about to blow a gasket. We call it the frog in the pot of boiling water,
oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm okay. I'm not okay. And why am I not okay? What's happening? So I love the idea of just like, it goes in this bucket. It just goes here. And then I know like, okay, even if it's going to take me a little bit of time to figure out like how much time all of these things will actually take, at least if they're all in this bucket, I can say, okay, guys, this is what's in this bucket. So either I'm going to go and just kind of take care of all of this, but you know what I'm doing, at least so there's awareness, or like, how can we divide it up? At least there is that moment of like just recognition.
Yeah. And the way I came up with my number, right, of how much time I need is I actually tracked it for several weeks. I was like, all right, I am going to track every time I'm doing something that falls into that bucket, what it was and how long it took. And so I tracked it for several weeks to kind of arrive on average, this is how much time, right? And there are weeks it's less and there are weeks when it's more, but at least I am protecting that time on my calendar. I'm having the awareness of it. So if I see, hey, we're going to be gone all weekend, now I might schedule, find time somewhere Monday through Friday to get that COO block in so that I know I'm not now adding even more stress that I'm trying to enjoy the weekend away and I can't because I've got that low grade anxiety of the stuff that I know is just waiting for me.
Yeah. Okay. So do you put things like housework on your COO time?
Oh, this question always pains me a little bit.
Why?
I'll be very honest. I can't stand cleaning. I really can't.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
And I do not feel like that is my responsibility to manage or maintain. So I absolutely do not.
I think that's great.
And several years ago, I was to the point, I was like, I really want to outsource this. And my husband and I were, not in alignment on that, just from a financial perspective. So I sat down with my family and I said, okay, let's all write down collectively everything that we need to do as a household to maintain our home, both inside and out. So we made the whole list, including the mowing of the lawn, the laundry. I said, great, now let's go down and write down the name next to who does all of these right now. All right. Again, data-driven conversation. Mm-hmm. My name was next to, probably 90% of it. So I said, does this seem appropriate?
Is this fair?
Fair, but I was just like, how does this make everyone feel?
Yeah.
So then they agreed. Yeah, you're right. We got to divvy this up. I said, that'd be great. So we all went through and picked what we were going to do. And after 2 weeks of that, my husband and daughter came back and said, what other choices do we have that we can stop spending money on to outsource a cleaning company? And I said, nice. That's a great conversation. So I am very fortunate. And we made choices in our budget of what we weren't going to do, but then there's stuff the laundry, all of that from a maintenance mode. I personally don't put that on my calendar because I work from home. I'm mm-hmm. able to work that in, but I do pick a half a day every month for a deep clean in one room of my house. And that's part of my monthly planning ritual. And my daughter has to participate in that as a contribution for keeping our house clean as well. So we put on good tunes, we make good snacks, and we have the one room that we do, move all the furniture, scrub the baseboards, and it just rotates one room every month.
I love that. I'm curious why you hate that question or why you feel bad about having to outsource it or wanting to outsource it.
No, I don't feel bad about the outsourcing, but I know I have ruffled a lot of feathers from people in the past when they reach out to me because they know I provide planning templates and all of that. And they're like, hey, do you have the template for how you keep up with all your housework? And sometimes my answers are a little snarky because I'll say no, because that's not my job, nor do I want you to think it's yours. So I want to stop this because I've never seen a man reach out to anyone saying, hey, how are you keeping up with your housework? Somewhere historically, it's programmed in women that it's our job to figure this out. And now it's our job to train the next generation of women how to be fully responsible for maintaining a beautiful home. And I just do not want to perpetuate that. And I've upset some people by saying, no, I'm never going to create that because I don't want to train my daughter that's her job either.
Love it. Yeah. Oh my God. I think you thought you were going to ruffle my feathers.
No, I don't know. Different people have very passionate views on like the cleaning schedule. Like to me, having a cleaning schedule of what I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like that just sounds like a slow, painful death to me. It really does.
I think for me, it's more about like, how can I just do small bits every day so it doesn't get completely out of control?
Amen.
And then
and we
more
do
like,
resets.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're just built in more as like, oh, after dinner, we do the downstairs reset. We
exactly.
all do it. It's 10 minutes. We're done. So it's not, yeah. I don't want to overthink it and overstructure it and color code it. Like, no, it's just teamwork, reset, and then move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of my ethos or idea is that the less stuff you have, the easier it is to clean it. And so it doesn't have to be this big fight. And maybe my house isn't as clean as some people's. And maybe that's just our threshold. Like my kitchen is always clean. I feel very good about cooking in it. I cook 3 times a day. Or, you know, we eat in our house 3 times a day because my husband and I both work from home as well. To me, I think it's just, I don't have anyone going around with a white glove and like checking every windowsill. And if that's you, then we're just not going to be friends. And that's okay. And that's just
yeah,
the
and eventually,
level that we're not going to live to.
Yeah. And that's why I like the monthly one room deep clean, right?
That's
it's
a
like,
great,
hey,
yeah.
You know
I love
what?
It.
No, it's yep. not. I'm going to spend all day Saturday cleaning my windows. Yep. Oh my God, no. I'll just yeah. do a couple hours in one room. And then, you know, however many months later, I'll get back to it again. And then at least I never feel like it's this, okay, it's really gross in here, guys.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah. So no worries. We're on the same page. I love that yeah. you're.
And someone did ask me, do I put my husband's office on my rotating schedule? Absolutely not. That's his mm-mm. space.
That's
for
his
him
space.
To. Yeah, yeah.
You do what you want to do in there. That's yours.
Exactly.
And then I don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
I don't want anyone touching my desk. This is my desk.
Exactly.
Like, leave it alone.
Same. I'm always like, not in my office. This is my space.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think too, like I do, as I work from home, I work some of these things in. Like I do a load of laundry a day. Yeah, now, to be fair, I do want to point out that yes, I have my normal times that I do them. But right now, this conversation is happening in my normal washing a load of laundry time slot. I'm not washing a load of laundry right now because I don't want the background noise. So I just will have to move it. So again, nothing has to be super rigid, but I do have this general way of doing things. And I find that if we can just keep them small and manageable, it's so much easier. And so, yeah, I love that.
Flexibility to just move it on a day where right. you might need to move it a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. And because it's worked into the schedule and it, you know, doesn't have to be this thing that is totally derails my day. I need to have a little flexibility. So I think you and I
Amen.
Are on the same page. I love this.
Yes.
So, okay, how can we help the woman, the mom, the person that's listening to this that is living in pure reaction mode? They're putting out fires. They're going from one fire to the other. How do we help them stop that cycle? Because it is really hard when everything feels important.
Yes. So chances are most women today are doing what they've kind of been taught or been shown to do, or other, you know, productivity quote experts out there are telling them to do, which is there's a good chance you are doing some form of in the morning, you're doing your brain dump, right? You're getting out, whether it's the app or the piece of paper, whatever, and you're writing down all the things that you're going to get done today, right? You're creating the list. And the intent is great. You don't want to forget stuff. You're thinking through what needs to be done, right? But if you are operating in daily list making mode where you're making the list, then it's like, gentlemen, start your engines and your goal for the day is to try and check everything off. But every time you check something off, 3 more things get added, right? You collapse into bed at night. The list is not all checked off. It rarely is. You wake up tomorrow, you rewrite yesterday's, right? And add to it. That is a very reactive lifestyle because you're operating, I call it just-in-time living, daily living, right? Which means things are likely queuing up too because you can't get it all done. The things that are getting done are often getting done in the last minute. Okay, I know I needed to do those forms. They're due Friday. Monday was too crazy. So in the back, I won't do that today, right? So then everything's last minute, which just creates even more anxiety. So this is why one of the things I say all the time is a task list is not a plan. So the foundational shift that we need to make is learning how to get out of task list mode that's very reactive and get into weekly planning. Now, the way most people do weekly planning is they'll have a calendar that has their appointments in it, right? Mm-hmm. The dentist, the doctor, maybe even the driving the kid to soccer practice or piano lesson or whatever. And then next to the calendar is the list of all the things that they're just going to fit in, right, throughout the week. But again, the problem with that is you're never taking the time to go through the list and add up how long does everything on here take to see if it's even realistic. And when we're operating in list-making mode, we're setting ourselves up for massive decision fatigue every single day. So here's what happens in your brain every time you're operating in list mode. We wake up with a limited capacity for good decision making. All right, there's a reason why I can go into the kitchen and make my lunch and not grab a handful of Oreos. But by 8 p.m., I'm going to eat a whole like sleeve, right? I'm going to eat a whole row of Oreos.
A whole row.
Yeah. And it's not willpower. It's not whatever. It's because I've maxed out my good decision-making for the day, right? My willpower wasn't stronger. I just am not at max decision fatigue at noon. So when you have a list, let's say there's 18 things on it, which is not unreasonable for someone. The very first thing you have to do is look at the list and say, what am I doing now? And when you're looking at a list of 18 things to choose between, that is very hard for your brain because it's trying to prioritize 18 things against each other. Whereas if you had a list with two things on it, you would not draw on that brain power nearly as much to make your choice. Just as if I came to you, Deanne, and said, do you want an apple or an orange? Probably pretty easy question. If I handed you a basket with 25 pieces of fruit in it and said, which one do you want? It's going to take a while. Right. So if you have that list, you're looking at it, deciding what to go do, you execute on it, you come back. Now you're looking at the list. You're doing that all day long. This is why at 5 p.m. when someone asks you, what do you want for dinner? You're at your wit's ends, right? For the love of God, somebody else, please decide. You've hit decision fatigue and that adds irritability as well. So this is why the foundational planning system that I teach shows you how to integrate your traditional task list into your actual calendar for the week. Now, it's the thing that's important to understand is people are like, oh, time blocking, right? Where I just pick the task and then I block off the time to do it. Yes, but no, because traditional time blocking techniques also fail women because they teach you to block every single minute of the day with exactly what you're going to be doing. And there's no room to pivot when life happens. Life is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. It always will. You'll have a sick kid, the dog will barf, whatever it is. So the fundamental way that I teach this very step-by-step weekly planning system is one where we build in room for uncertainty. We know it's coming. So we build in a plan that supports, similar to your laundry, I know this is getting done this week. I know how much time it takes, but I'm learning how to build a plan on my calendar that allows me to move things around as life happens, and we actually build in room on our calendar that supports something taking longer than it should, that supports, you know, the uncertainty things that are going to happen, but ensures that we have the time that we need for the things we deem most important. And so when we learn how to move into that planning mode, now instead of me looking at a list all day long going, what should I do next? What should I do next? I just look at my calendar and my calendar goes, here's what you're doing next, Megan. And if I need to shift things around, I go straight to my calendar and use the replanning tools so that now I'm not trying to build a second list of the stuff that didn't get done that I'm trying to figure out how to get done. And so really it's a fundamental shift from reactive list to proactive plan.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I love the fact that there's wiggle room, built in because that is, you have to. Yes, exactly. You have to. And also I feel sometimes that my energy is going to shift throughout the week.
1000%.
You know, I wake up on Monday and I'm like, oh, I've got this. I've got everything. I can do it. I feel like Wonder Woman. And other days I'm like, I literally had to roll out of bed. I literally had to roll out because I did not want to put my feet on the ground. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And that's why this planning system is built for women. Ladies, it's tied to our biology. It's tied to our hormones. The planning systems built by men are built on a 24-hour hormone cycle. That's how men's bodies work. Mm-hmm. Ours works on a 28, if we're lucky and regular, a 28-day hormone cycle. So our plans need to be able to support the flexibility that supports our biology as well.
Yeah. And those plans were built when they were like, well, there's a wife at home. So isn't that so nice? Yes. She's taking care of so much of the emotional stuff.
I know my energy is going to follow repeatable patterns every 24 hours. And I have someone handling everything at home. You can build a very structured, perfect week and all of that. So the tools work in very specific situations.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, so true. Okay, let's bring it back to this idea of physical clutter and our time and mental clutter, because we both know these two are deeply connected. So how do you see physical clutter stealing time? I want to hear it from your perspective.
I will say, thankfully, my husband and I are both really in alignment on, well, sort of, now that I say that, he's a trinket guy. He loves him some trinkets, but they're all in his office.
Hey, so but then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, random clutter for both of us, we know it makes me anxious. Just as a list that you're looking at all day long and you don't know how it's going to get done, constantly looking at stuff that you know needs to be decluttered, but no system or plan in place of how and when and what to do. It's like that constant little person on your shoulder tapping you all day long, right?
Yeah.
Just as that little ticker tape at 2 a.m. is making the lists all day long. And so what I know I've seen with women that are, you know, either start with decluttering the physical and then move to the decluttering the calendar or vice versa, is when both of those are working in alignment with each other, stress levels go down, cortisol levels go down, space for your time, guilt-free, goes way down. And that is a game changer, because I know so many women who, if they take 30 minutes for themselves, they can't fully enjoy it because they're thinking about, they're seeing the pile of clutter, right? That's subconsciously stressing them out, or they're thinking about all the stuff they have to get done with no plan to get it done. So there's likely a reason why you can go enjoy your trapeze lesson without that little voice talking, right? Because there's no visual representation and no mental clutter. To me, that is the most powerful, but the benefit most people don't talk about is enjoying your downtime without any guilt or stress.
Yeah. And I see the back end too. Like they're like, I got to have this time. So they take the time. And then after they're like, oh my gosh, I feel so behind. Right. So then it's just like the back end. It's like, and then why did I even take it? Cause now I'm all stressed out about it and all the things.
It's kind of like that. Why did I bother going on vacation? It's not worth it. Right.
I need a vacation for my vacation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I'm passionate about is I don't want you to live your life behind the eight ball. Like I want you to feel just like joyful about your own life and like just show up and feel like you can be your full authentic self and your house is supporting you and your calendar supporting you and your family supporting you and you're supporting you, right? Like you've put in the time and the effort that you're supporting you. And it's not even that it's clutter that you have to deal with. It's just all the stuff in your house. And if it's just out everywhere, yeah, just that visual is so hard. Just like that list of like, oh my God, I've got all of this stuff to do this week and I feel so overwhelmed by it. So let's make the plan and do the things and start to feel good about ourselves. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of the things I do every day when I'm kind of done with my work time before I pick my daughter up from school it's 2 minutes and I just reset my desk the way I like it. Right. So that tomorrow morning when I come in to start my day, I walk in, it's, and if anyone in my family leaves anything in my office, they know. They know that when I do that, it's going to be picked up and it's going to be put like, this is my space. But it's the little things that just take 2 minutes that can make such a difference.
Yes, it does not have to be super overwhelming. We do not have to build it up into this huge overwhelming thing.
And I'm sure I've got dust on my windowsills and stuff in here. I don't need that, right? I just need my my workspace set up in a way that feels really good to me.
Yeah, I love that. We are not shooting for perfection. We are definitely not. This is not, I do not live in a magazine spread. That is for sure.
Yeah, no, I have two dogs. They're the only people allowed in my office whenever they want. So, I mean, it's going to be messy in here. But that's part of, I don't mind that. That's the mess I expect. That is not, you know, fine with me.
Yeah. All right. I do have one last question about mom guilt before we go on. So we were just kind of getting into this, but maybe we didn't dive deep enough. Like, they feel guilty for making time for themselves, which we were just talking about. Like, it's somehow selfish to reclaim it when there's kids in the house and the house that, you know, needs their attention and everyone else's needs are right in front of them. So what do you say to that woman?
So here's what I would say to you. Think about a professional athlete, right? I am not one, never claiming to have been one. But I watched my niece. She was a high-end swimmer and she would share her like workout regimens from her coach as they were like preparing to go to Olympic trials and stuff. And built into their training plan were naps and rest, because you cannot perform at your peak if you are training all the time. It was equally as important was built-in rest blocks. And so when you think about yourself as a person who are raising tiny human beings, and I'm sorry, that is a hard, hard job, right? We cannot treat rest as a reward for completing our task list. We have to recognize that rest is what gives us the fuel to show up in the way that allow, you know, that we can enjoy, that we don't get frustrated, that we're not short-tempered because we're exhausted, right? It's not about the gentle parenting or anything like that. It's about, are you taking care of your body? Because if you don't, you simply can't perform. And so you are a professional human raiser, if you're a mom, right? We're professional athletes in the sport of raising tiny humans. And when you can have that shift in your brain of this is a required part of my training plan, it for me, that gets rid of my guilt.
Mm, yeah, I love that. That
we
is such a fun.
Have that.
Yeah, that's a great perspective shift. I love that. You have to look at it. It's not a reward, right? It needs to be built in. So yeah, that's fantastic. Oh, all right, Megan, where can people find you? I know they're going to want to know more about you and follow up. So where can they find you?
Yeah. So if you're here listening, you're obviously a podcast fan. You can come check me out over at the Work Life Harmony podcast. We teach time management and planning tips for women there every week. And even though I talked about notifications, I promise I will not spam you with notifications. But if you're interested in learning more about this time management framework, I have an app in the App Store and Google Play. It's called the Pink Bee. It's all one word. And when you log in and create your account there, I have some free training already waiting for you loaded in the app that breaks down what this planning framework looks like. So it's kind of a great way to get a little bit more info and kind of dip your toes in the water there that way.
Very cool. That's fun. Not very many of my guests have their own app. I love that.
Yes.
Very cool. All right. Well, we'll definitely have links in the show notes as well so people can click right on through. And then my favorite way to end every episode is with three rapid fire questions. So the first one is, what does clutter-free mean to you?
It means that when I walk into a space, everything I see there is something I want to see. Like, it brings me joy.
Ooh, that's fun. Okay, that's a new one. I love it. Number two, what is something that is making you happy right now or in this season of life?
What is making me happy right now is that I only have to do the painful morning drive to school 7 more times before summer break. It's a long, painful drive. I am on the countdown, baby.
Boy, yeah, right? Okay. Well, we have a lovely carpool, which is amazing. So, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then number three, what is something you want listeners to take away from today's conversation?
I think it's really what we were just talking about, right? Rest is not a reward. And tied very closely to that is we need to remember that our worth is not connected to how productive people think we are, right? Your worth is not tied up in your productivity. You are worthy no matter how many things you check off your list.
So good. Perfect way to end today's episode. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. I told you that was going to be a good episode. And there are so many things that I am still thinking about from today's episode. But one thing that I keep coming back to is this: rest is not a reward. It is required. It's required to be part of your plan. Because if you're a mom, or you're the default parent, or if you're the one carrying all of the invisible load, then you are essentially a professional athlete in the sport of raising tiny humans and running your home. Okay? And professional athletes do not perform well when they train every single day with zero recovery built in. So if you've been putting yourself at the bottom of the list and calling it being a good mom, then I really want you to think about, how can I be a better mom when I allow myself some space and some rest? And I also love the idea of the household COO time. So just one block chunk on the calendar each week for all that admin work that nobody else can see. I've talked about this before. I like to do my paper admin day on Fridays, but it just is very helpful to have this time set up, right? You've got the camp forms, the dentist scheduling, the rescheduling, the paperwork, and putting that block on the shared family calendar so that people can actually see it. They can see that you're doing the work, that you're doing this planning and all of the steps that go into running the house, right? And then they can step in when that pile gets too big, or they will know where to look and they'll know what's on the schedule and they'll know when things start and end. And all of that can start to shift from invisible to visible. And it's such a simple thing, but it does really change so much. So please, if you're thinking about what can I do after this episode, think about building that one block of time in. And if today hit home for you, then please share this episode with a friend who needs to hear it as well. That is the single best way to help this show grow and to get this conversation into the hands of more women who are running on stolen time. You can also follow Megan over on Instagram and check out her podcast, the Work and Life Harmony podcast. And she has a free app called the Pink Bee in the App Store, where she has free training waiting for you the second you sign in. All of her links are in the show notes at wannabeclutterfree.com/321. All right, before I let you go, here's your quick win for the week. Turn off one notification today. Pick one app, turn it off, and notice how it feels by the end of the day. It's a small thing, but it's a big shift. All right, you've got this. I know you can do anything you set your mind to. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wanna Be Clutter Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers.